He didn't have any hard feelings. He just says he don't forgive me. Sorry. And we need to decide.
I think we have room, so we're about to start.
Since we get started on recording, there's a complication. We'll have elections going on now. So, and grab something to eat. If you want to do anything about it, we need to put something on the agenda. Otherwise, we can probably just wait. But, so let me know what you're recording. Okay, well, we're recording, and I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. This is the September 16th, 2009 local station board meeting for KPFT, and it's 7:15. Welcome, everyone. As you know, Richard Uzel is on travel. He's going up to New York, our sister station, to help with some work up there. And I'd like to appoint temporary secretary Lee Greenwood. Any objections?
Woo!
She has volunteered.
If you object, you get to be secretary.
Okay. So. So Lee, would you like to call the roll? You can just use the these and make notes of who's here and who's not.
Teresa Allen.
Here.
Wesley Bethune.
I'll just give you a second.
Bill Crosley.
I'm here.
Mary Dennis.
Here.
I'm here. Melinda.
Holly Jones.
Okay. Joseph K.
Yes, here.
Esther King. Alberto Lara.
Luera.
Mike Morton. Sandra Rollins. David Salerno.
Right here.
Sherelle. Herbert Septo.
Here.
C. Lee Taylor.
Here.
Richard Ezell. Ted.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Young.
Here.
Stacy Davis. Here. Chris Gattis.
Pardon me, but she's still out of the country.
Well, if we can do that on excused absences.
Chris Gadlin. George Reeder.
Here. Writer.
Ron Reynolds. Alfonso Rivera. M. Woodson.
Likewise. Okay, we have excused absence requests for Alberto Loera, Sandra Rawline, and Richard Uzel. They're all out of town. Anybody else know of any excused absence requests?
What about Stacy? Is she out of town?
I don't think I've heard from her.
Okay.
Anybody?
I know she was out of town last week. I have a feeling she's still out of town.
I move that we excuse the absences of Alberto, Sandra, and Richard.
Okay, any objections? Okay, if not, then those are excused. Thank you.
Did you ask for an excused absence for Stacy Davis?
No.
I asked for an excused absence for Stacy Davis. I believe she's still out of country.
Okay, any objections to excusing Stacy? Okay, then she's excused too.
Could somebody else take the plate of peanut butter cookies?
I know.
We're going to finish it off. Okay, no, one round. Also, Dwayne called.
Go that way.
Dwayne called about 30 minutes ago. He's having car troubles, and he'll be late, but he'll be here. So.
I know. Ron Reynolds is on the way too. He said stuff, but might not know.
Okay. Well, if he's here late, then we'll just make a note of that. And if they come in late, just be sure to check them off. Okay. Any changes to the agenda, the proposed agenda that you have in front of you?
I think we need to deal with the LSB vacancy, and I don't think that's part of this.
Where do you want to do that?
I would suggest we do it maybe just before or after LSB treasurer's report.
We'll pick one. This is a motion.
Huh?
Pick one before or after.
Before.
Okay.
Take that. That works.
Okay. Are there any objections to at least discussing that? I don't know what we're going to decide. So we can add that to the agenda then? Okay. Other changes to the agenda?
I wanted to find some time to talk about the town hall meeting representation.
Okay. Where would you like to do that?
How was the elections update? That sounds like a good place.
Before then? I forget, where is that?
I don't think it is. I recommend putting it right after LSB vacancy.
Okay.
I second that.
So we'll have elections update and...
Yay, Ron!
Ron Reynolds is here.
Yeah, Ron Reynolds is recognized.
Ron Reynolds
is right.
And,
I'm sorry, what was that, Mary? No, I forgot.
Town hall meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Coming town hall meeting representation by
the... Right, thank you. Okay, so any objections to adding all those right after minutes approval before treasurer's report?
Would you mind just quickly reviewing what we've just done?
Okay, the LSB vacancy because Esther has resigned, elections update.
Where are these going?
After minutes approval. 1C, after 1C.
LSB vacancy and what's the other?
Elections.
Elections update and LSB representative to the town hall meeting. Okay, anything else to change the agenda? Hope I forgot anything. Okay, thanks. So the agenda is approved as amended. The minutes from the last meeting she made in front of you, thank you, Richard, who got them copied before he left you out of town. He also got the agenda all printed up, too. So are there any corrections or changes to the minutes from the August 19th meeting? Last month? This is minutes?
I see that you're giving a report.
Are we talking about the agenda or the minutes?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were on the agenda.
No.
Oh, we're on minutes? Okay, that's fine.
We'll come back to that in a second.
No problem.
Any other corrections to the minutes?
Approval.
Any objections? Okay, the minutes are approved. Thank you. If you have something you want to do the program council report, we can just deal with it then under program council, which if it's related to that. Okay. All right. Now, we just added LSB vacancy. For those of you who didn't check your email this afternoon, Esther King has resigned. He said he didn't have any hard feelings, but he was just too involved in too many other reasons. He's on three other boards, and he didn't feel he had time to adequately do what needs to be done for the KPFT local station board. So... we don't have any more runners up from the last election, so if we want to fill the vacancy before December, we need to decide what to do. Or we could choose not to fill it. Yes, Susan?
Just to start the discussion, I move that we not fill the vacancy. And second.
Okay, so now the motion is to not fill the vacancy.
Point of order.
Yes,
I'm sympathetic with that, but the bylaws do say that we shall fill the vacancy.
Doesn't it say period of time?
No.
We don't have a second.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, we do.
See, Lisa, seconded it.
So we fill the vacancy in December.
Well,
how's that?
I guess it's reasonable.
Let me just speak to the.
Go ahead, George.
It's the October meeting and then the November meeting. So there are two more possible meetings before the people are put on the board. And we would have to find somebody between now and approve them in October for the November meeting. Can we do it offline? We have to have a meeting to approve them, I think.
Well, I think Teresa had her hand up next.
Right.
So.
On the staff.
Okay.
There is an issue. You cannot go to the PND until you have served a year. So someone who will be running for local station board next year, it could be a significant issue that they can start participating on the board sooner. if someone was on the PNB and was either removed from the PNB or resigned from the local station board and we were voting on the PNB, we have a situation where we couldn't have anyone step up because they didn't have a year yet. So that is one reason why you might actually give someone who is running for the board an opportunity to work on the board earlier. I don't know whether you want to draw names from a hat or how you would want to do that, but that is an issue.
Okay, Susan, then George.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things. Because both of those seats their terms end this year. Somebody who isn't running now would essentially that their term would be out, and it would not open them up to that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
By picking somebody who is running, that essentially is an endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
If it's picked out of a hat, then nevertheless, they can say, I've already served and I have more mm-hmm. experience. So I think, for one thing, that there's an LES, NEF determination about that, but I think it's inherently unfair and inappropriate during an election.
So you feel we should wait until after the election?
And also, we have the process, yes, and okay. The process that we have identified for filling vacancies that we have followed in the past is to advertise, give people the opportunity to nominate themselves, come in and run and be elected. So we would have to launch an entire separate process while we have an LSB election going on
mm-hmm.
and while we're trying to get ballots returned.
Okay, we have George and Teresa on the stage. Is anybody that hasn't spoken yet want to say something? Joseph? Okay.
No, go ahead.
George has already spoken.
Go ahead. You speak because I'm going to call a question.
All right, George.
I speak to the point of, not because I want to be a stickler, but just to follow the bylaws and do things in accordance with whatever our rules and regulations, and seek a solution rather than seeing only a problem. Finding a way to fill the seat without all that hullabaloo that's not necessary because it was formally done that way. This is an unusual circumstance. Perhaps we could say, because of that, we can't do this normal stuff that we might ordinarily do, advertising and all of this. It's only 2 months. Is that correct? Is it October and November?
So what do you suggest we do?
And December is not part of the term.
So what do you suggest that we do?
I'm suggesting that we do what we say we ought to do, which is follow the bylaws. If that's our guidelines, is follow bylaws and not try to beat around and get around and cut corners or deceive and, you know, make up new rules along the way.
Okay, on the stack we have George, Teresa, and Melinda, and George and Teresa have already spoken, so I'm going to go to Melinda for next. Okay.
And
Ron.
Okay, you know, Melinda. Consider logistics. If we're going to do this and we do this the way that we've done it by standard protocol, then that means that we would have to advertise. That means that we would have to listen to speeches in October, and that person would serve, 1 month of that term? 1 month? That sure seems like much ado about nothing, to borrow from Shakespeare. And the thing is that I don't see that there's any problem with this meeting quorum in the meantime. So it's not essential. That, I mean, there are a lot of things in the bylaws we don't have going on right now as it is. I mean, one of them is we don't have, for example, a committee of inclusion going on, and that's also in the bylaws, and we've managed to cut
very
that corner. So I think that that's actually a more important omission than having one member less.
Okay, Ron?
Well, actually, Melissa probably said a lot of what I was going to say, and to reiterate what Susan is saying, I think that if we went by the bylaws, we probably would have or would exacerbate the amount of time that we have before the new board is elected. So, in essence, our efforts could very well be in vain. So, I guess we should see exactly what the bylaws says, and if it says what Susan mm-hmm. just indicated, then I think we're going to spend a lot of time and energy trying to get that member to only serve for about a month. And also, too, I just don't know how that... I know in my case, when I was an alternate, did we figure out whether or not that's one of my terms, or... And if this person serves 1 month, would that be considered a term, or, you know... I mean, that's a question.
The ruling for Les Radke is 6 years, at least until the bylaws are clarified.
I thought it was two. Oh, so
it's six consecutive years.
Okay. Point of information.
Yeah, Justin.
Is there not any way that the bylaws allow for some special circumstance like this, for not having to go through all this rigmarole stuff?
I don't think so.
Simply say because of the lack of time that we appoint somebody and. We all agree that's okay? No. Can the bylaws allow that?
Point of clarification, the process that we have adopted is not specified in the bylaws. We have simply done that out of good governance and transparency, and is the process that we have used whenever there is a vacancy and there isn't somebody else lined up.
Okay, by the way, you know, we have Ann Shaw here. If somebody would like to get a ruling from her, you know, she
could
tell you that.
Okay.
For
somebody.
Yes, Teresa.
That's right.
When we advertised and recruited and seated her and me, I don't know if there was someone else at the time, did we not...
Chris.
Pardon me?
Chris Gatlin. Or no, he was the
Chris
next one up. Yeah,
Did we not say, well, if we had another opening, there is, like, we have them in queue, we can have... Did we not have that? I thought there was more than two candidates.
I think they were all running.
There were two listener candidate alternates.
There were only two listener candidates,
but there were more staff ones.
There was a third person that evening that she decided to not run at all.
Oh, okay.
Well, my question is going to be, what Esther's term ends this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what she was saying is there's no other alternates or follow up for it that was for election, because I never was. I stepped in and accepted it.
Right.
And went for it then. So.
Right. So yeah. When you fill a vacancy, you fill the rest of that term.
That's right.
And his term ends this year. November would be the last meeting.
So the person will be left not being able to, will miss the election that's going on now. Or would someone...
Depending on how we did it, if we did it.
Okay.
We could pick somebody we don't like.
George and Teresa are next on the stack. I think everybody else that wanted to speak has spoken. So, George?
I call a question on this.
Okay, are there any objections to going and voting on this? Do you have the motion? Lee, can you read it to us?
No.
Could you restate the motion?
Yeah, the motion is that we not fill this vacancy in advance of the election.
If he came in late, we're talking about the vacancy from Esther King because he just resigned.
Yeah, it's been seconded once.
Okay, so if you vote yes, you're voting not to fill Esther's vacancy, at least not now. Okay, so all in favor of that motion to not fill a vacancy, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All opposed to the motion, raise your hand. 1. Okay, so motion passes 12-1. Okay, next item on the agenda, and note that Dwayne's arrived. Hope your car is in going to be in working condition soon.
No,
okay. We added to the agenda elections update and town hall meeting representation. So, Ann, would you like to give us an update on the elections?
Sure, absolutely. So, the update is that we had the forum on Sunday night. We had all but three of the candidates and a few listeners there. It was actually a very nice, collegial, respectful night. And from what I'm hearing from the other stations of how their candidate forums are going, where they either have four people in total, including candidates, or they have to call the cops and the EMTs, I think we're doing pretty good. But, you know, granted, that might be a little more. But anyway, it was a great thing. And so we've got the on-air forums coming up next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then we'll have three more in October. So those are coming up as well. So that's been going okay. I'm ramping up, trying to get more of the Bill, you talked about the website that wasn't working. I also tried to fire up some
Facebook, MySpace, some other ways of trying to get the word out, because we do have emails for half of our voters. And so if there's some other ways we can kind of get information to them easily, not necessarily by emailing it, but letting them know that they can get that information other ways, and also because the direct link from the KPFT website is a little fudgy and it goes through so many kind of permutations, there might be a more effective way to do that. So that's what I'm working on right now. One of the things that I do need from y'all is that it's going to be just about time tomorrow or Friday to start checking the mailbox and see how many ballots we have. So I need a couple of people to go with me to kind of be observers for that. Dwayne, did you have, I read somewhere that you had a lock box or something that you used on the van?
Yeah,
do you have that up in the attic at the station? So, okay. So I'd like to do that actually tomorrow if I could. The way it works is basically we should go weekly to do that. We could either do it on lunch hour, we could do it right after work. The idea is that you also kind of post that on the website and kind of or email folks and let them know that you're doing it, so it's kind of public. And the idea behind having two other people in some stations, it would be people from the two warring factions would go along and do it. It, you know, in this case, I think maybe a board member and a staff member might make sense. So, do y'all have any thoughts on any of y'all that would like it? It's the UPS store over there on Wall, right across from Payway, is where it is.
Yeah, near Luby's on Wall.
Kind of near Luby's on Wall. So that's where it is. And the way it works is that basically we get the ballots out, we put them in an envelope or a box or whatever, depending on how many they are, wrapping them up with tape, sign across the tape, all three of us, and then put them in a locked box there at the station, or we'll find some other location to put them in, just so that, you know, it's above board and people know that they're being counted, and also so we can pace ourselves and see how we're doing that vote.
It helps minimize any possible allegations later of, you know, Ann or somebody stuffing the ballot box or taking ballots out.
What time are you planning on doing that?
Well, I'm flexible at this point. I haven't determined a time yet, so I think if you know, when people are available to go do it, I'd be happy to accommodate that.
I could do it around 8 in the morning.
Okay, 8 in the morning. Okay, can we do it Friday? I can do it Friday morning, 8 in the morning.
No, just tomorrow.
Just tomorrow. Oh, okay, just in the morning. Okay. Well, actually, maybe if I meet you, is the box going to be accessible?
I'll be there at 7:00.
It's accessible. Okay, so we'll
I
do
could,
a
day.
I could do it Friday about 8:30.
Okay. Yeah, but he's saying tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I want to be down there anyway.
I can do it after work, but I work until 6, so it'd be 6:30.
I can do it tomorrow at about 5:30.
Yeah.
We're all critical. Yeah.
How many people do you have there?
Oh, just two people.
Two.
Yeah. So, and it could be.
Besides yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm there typically every day, but I usually get in at 10, but if need be, I can come early. Oh, I shouldn't. Yeah, okay.
Some people might get me yellowing or cool.
Okay. Well, I know Eddie's there.
What time of day are you going to do it?
Never early.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I just find a time where I can get two people that can.
Yeah, there's someone who's there every consistently.
Well, Laura's there, but she's on the board working.
Okay, is she free after that?
She could go. I mean, I could watch the board for her.
I can accommodate Susan when she said 5:30 on what day? Tomorrow at 5:30.
Okay.
I can do it.
Okay. So 5:30. So we can just meet at the UPS store. It's right here. I don't know where it is. Right on Wall. Just north of where Luby's and the bank is there. Just north of West Gray.
Okay, and it's on what side of the street?
It's on the west side of the street.
It's on the same side as Luby's, just north of Luby's.
Okay, y'all can coordinate tomorrow. Can y'all volunteer to do that every week, or do you need different people? You want people to do this each week, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, again, we can, you know, we can kind of be flexible about this. But, yeah, I mean, it would be nice to just set a time and go with it.
You're going to have a lot of people, hopefully, on Sunday at the town hall meeting, and then you can go they recruit some people there.
Right. Yeah. Right. Feel free to email the LSB.
Okay. Well, so we'll do it at 5:30 tomorrow at the UPS, and then we'll go from there. And, you know, again, in terms of the issue with the town hall meeting and kind of why that ruling was changed and the rest of it, I don't know if that was clear or not, but Wes really felt like, you know, if it were just a decision about KPFT, it would be a different decision, but this is a national election, and in terms of bill chairing it or, you know, the candidates' participation and the rest of it, the decision would be different if we were just looking at KPFT, but given the turmoil at some of the other stations, he felt like he really needed to draw a hard line in terms of what were events the candidates could fully participate in that way, and which ones were, you know, like forums they can speak and they can do all of that, but at other events, the same way as kind of on air, you wouldn't really want to limit their participation. And his concern was at some of the stations, if we did one and the board chair chaired it, and the, you know, and it, but it was a town hall and it was open and all that, then some of the other stations could very easily just decide to call a town hall and, you know, create chaos. So again, he had to go strictly by the letter of what the intent is with the fair campaign. Thanks. So that's where we were.
Any other questions for Ann?
Any other questions about
how long will the candidate statements on air every hour go?
They will go until, and this is again why we want to be checking, and they will go until we get quorum. If we get quorum early, we can ease way up on them, if not get rid of them completely. The flip of that, it, coming up around the beginning of October, if it's looking like we're not getting any kind of response, Les was really looking at ramping up the frequency. I mean, you know, in order to not extend the election, you know, he would rather see just 24/7 election programming until people turn in the damn ballots. It's kind of what, you know, it's not what anybody wants, but that's the kind of the pace of it.
Melinda?
We've managed to get 50% of my household has a ballot, and of course I didn't get one. If I don't get one by next Tuesday, what should I do?
Email me your information. I mean, I've got it, but just email me, and I'm getting ready to do a PSA tomorrow and kind of announce this clearly to everybody. Email me your name and address and phone number, because what I have to do is this year the barcodes are on the ballot themselves, and so Les has to go in and cancel out the original ballot and plug in the new one. So that's all we have to do. And then I'll just mail it to you first class.
Cool.
From here. So that's a pretty easy thing.
Celie?
I haven't heard any deadline on air about getting ballots in. And I'm curious as to what it is.
It's October 15th. It's on the ballot. And it's been in some of the things, but okay. I'll clarify that if it hasn't.
Yeah, I haven't heard it from the register, and I was asked.
Yeah, and one of my concerns, and I checked this with Les, because it's October 15th is a receipt deadline, which makes me very nervous, because, you know, I always like a postmark deadline, because, you know, you drop in the mail, and you don't quite know when it's going to get here. But he said it is a receipt deadline, the 15th.
Meaning at the station?
Meaning at the P.O. box.
Can it be hand-delivered to the station?
My understanding is it needs to be mailed to the PO box.
Must be
mailed. They took it last year.
Okay, you have 3 sentences and 1 ask questions.
Yeah, you know, I asked once on that, but I'll ask once again for, because I think the thinking is to make it, you know, again, to the box where it's where there's nobody's like piling up ballots at the station and that sort of thing. I don't know. I'm sure that's the reasoning behind it.
Yep, I got you, Dwayne. Okay, Teresa and then Susan, then Dwayne.
I do want to call to people's attention that the way the PSAs are going, since we do 2 an hour. PSAs an hour.
Oh, PSAs, sure.
Right.
Sorry.
Right. So when we have the 10 candidate statements, however many are running, then we only run one PSA. And I had a PSA that I requested for encouraging people to go out and work on Saturday or Sunday at the last organic outpost, the Emile Street Community Farm. Because I thought if we get them into that situation, then on October 24th, they'll come to this fundraiser. It didn't play until yesterday at the end of, I guess, at 12 o'clock. and somehow I missed that. It's not going to play again until midnight tonight. And I went over to schedule with Tony because I wanted to hear it. I can only hear it if there's nobody in the studio or I just happen to hear it. So I don't know whether we need to reconsider only doing two PSAs during this election period or consider the fact that we have the HOWL, the golf tournament, and we have a lot of other worthy organizations that deserve to have PSAs played, and we can't, I mean, only 1 hour just doesn't give too, as much coverage to some somehow community events as I'm comfortable with.
Okay, Susan?
Yeah, I guess a couple of things in that regard. One is, you know, the PNB adopted this very lengthy...
Could you speak up, Susan?
The PNB adopted a very detailed set of requirements that for all of that. And I don't know how, you know, I don't know how much latitude less and y'all have interpreted, but the PNB has, you know, whatever. So that's one thing. It's been stipulated, and the stations will be watched to see if they comply and can be penalized if they don't. I would hope that one of the things I would suggest is that getting to quorum is something different from knowing who the candidates are, and that emphasizing the importance of returning the ballots and they're blue and look for them and, you know, we're going to keep playing more PSAs if we don't get them in.
Right.
If you went to regular programming, you've done some of that. And then the comments that were really great that Wendy made, which is it looks complicated, but it's easy.
Right.
All you have to do, you can even just mark one, or you can send it back empty, but please send it back.
Right, and that's the PSM thing, getting ready to do, is that, you know, send it back or you're going to be hearing it. There's a great way to not hear any more of this, and that's to send in your vote. It's a real simple solution, and the flip of that is that...
If you don't like this, it's either
we're going to have a lot more of this, which you really hate, or it's going to be in your ballot, which we, you know, super don't like. So, you know, that's the downside of us not having all the turmoil that the other stations are having, is that, you know, they're going to make quorum, and they're probably going to...
Okay, Dwayne had his hand up when it got.
Necessarily.
Yeah, and it was about something she was saying a few people ago, and I forgot what that was.
Did you want to comment on only one PSA per hour? Because I know there's more than that sometimes.
Was it about
already
dropping off at the station?
Oh, yeah, it was. Thank you. In the past, election supervisors have done a drop by the station, but it's been... Like when you've been at the station with an authorized drop box that's been observed and witnessed, so that it could be all seen as a vote for it.
Were there a lot of people taking advantage of that?
Mm-hmm.
It was a fair number, I'd say, towards the end. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me check on that and make sure that.
The last day is when that postmark delivery thing becomes a real pain.
Yeah. So they can
have more.
Okay, let me check
again.
Find out the logistics.
Okay, Celia, and then Teresa.
I want to say that I've enjoyed the PSAs, and I think it is an illuminating experience hearing what these candidates bring to offer, and I think it's important. I like hearing it. So,
second that.
You know, I'm not doing it just for this.
Yeah.
I really mean that. Sincerely.
I enjoy hearing them, but I just want some of the other PSAs that we ordinarily do as a public service, and I think I would appreciate it if you would consider allowing some of them to get through. Also, I think that local station board members can really help by sending out emails to all of the people that you know that are members and encouraging them not to let the ballots slip down on a low, you know, on a pile of papers. People will be coming in to pick up those Woodstock sets. Now, not all of those people will have gotten ballots, but that is one thing that you could say when they come in, oh, don't forget to vote, because we might have some very enthusiastic members come in to pick those up. And whoever hands them out that could say, if you have a ballot home, don't forget me.
Right. Right. And I think it's critical for all y'all because, you know, I mean, we're talking about this 10%, but it's, and I forgot the final number that we mailed, but it's, you know, in the 700s is what we need. So it's not huge number. And so if all of y'all kind of really rattle your circle of friends, you can get to that number relatively quickly. And that's really where it's going to make a difference. And like I said, as I was saying earlier, I'm also going to try to, what you were talking about in hearing the candidates, I've got to check and make sure the technology is going to work, but I'd like to try to do it around the forums right after or whatever and try to grab the candidates and just let them shoot. I thought it was very interesting at the forum on Sunday night to kind of hear them and ask everybody the same short question, what's something specific you can do. Try to shoot just a little bit of video, put it on YouTube, link it through these other things so that we can have them on the website as well. I think it's too clunky to do it through the Pacifica website, but I think we could do it on an independent, you know, on a MySpace and a Facebook page pretty easily, or a WordPress or something. So I'm going to try to do that just to get some other ways of doing that. And once that gets rolling, I'll be sending y'all, please forward those links as well, because I think maybe if there's some fresher ways, if people don't have to wade through all the other KPFT stuff to get to election stuff, they might engage with it differently.
Just a reminder, Ray, we're about 35 minutes after the time on the agenda, and you can email Ann with any suggestions or questions you have. But we have Ted and Susan on the stack.
Can I bring George?
Yeah. George. I was going to just say, can we move on?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let me just say, you know, the candidates need to be drumming up people as well. You know, they need to get out to all of their email lists, their Facebook, and all of that and say, vote. Mm-hmm. Vote for me.
Right. Okay. Ready to move on? Thank you.
Let me also mention, I don't know whether Amy's going to send out a big email to all the people on our email list, which she usually sends out mentioning things like the Howl and the Miller Out in the Theater stuff. But if it's prominently featured on that and attractive, that will reach a lot of people, some of which may not be members anymore, but should say, you know, if you got the ballot, take action. Right. Something cute.
Okay. All right, thank you all. Okay, ready to move on. Well, let's be treasurer's report. Alberto's not here. Can we?
We added the other town hall meeting.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Right, thank you. Okay. Mary, you want to say something about that?
Yeah, first I wanted to thank Bill and Ann and the discussion that was going on so that we actually did think about the fact that since we are in the election process that there are certain members of the LSB that should not be facilitating things such as the town hall meeting. But in order to ensure that we do have LSB representation, I wanted to make a motion that Susan Young attend the town hall meeting on Sunday, September 20th, 2009, as the current LSB representative.
And at what time is it, Wednesday?
P&B meeting.
5 to 8. It's at the AFL-CIO Union Hall.
Is that on Northwood?
No, it's near Telephone Wayside. It's about 3 miles southeast of downtown.
This is due to the fact that Bill is
running
the board chair, but he is also a candidate. And myself, being the current vice chair, will not be available.
Okay, so you're moving as Susan Young represent the LSB at the town hall meeting. Yeah, is there a second?
I defer to anyone else who...
Okay, any discussion?
Thank us for this honor.
Any objections?
Would you like to?
Okay. Essentially, any other person on the LSB who's not running can do this.
Yeah, anybody else who's not running a candidate could do this. Are there any objections to Susan doing it? Okay, she's a P&B director also. So, all right, thank you. So we'll let Susan represent us. Thank you, Susan. Let me know if you're not sure how to get there. Let's see. And it helps to get there early, of course. Let's see. Treasurer's report. Alberto's not here. He's out of town. Can we just defer that to, I know Dwayne will probably talk about some of it in his report, and then to the Finance Committee. Is that okay? Consent items, I don't believe we have any. Right? I didn't see any. Board training. Richard added an announcement here, which is something he and Alberto and Mary are working on. I guess if you have any questions about that, contact one of them. Do you want to add anything, Mary?
Just that we're in the process of considering some time so we can put together sessions, upcoming sessions, to work with some of the board training materials that we have.
Okay, and this will include all the candidates too, right?
Yes.
Okay. KPFT recognitions. Who has somebody or some organization to recognize? George.
I want to recognize Deb Shafto, in the interest of full disclosure, is my wife, for finding an inexpensive hotel. She put a couple of days' work into doing that, and checked out about three others before finding this one. And it looks like it's going to be cheap, adequate. Yeah. All the things that we really care about.
All right.
Wendy was going to take a look and make the final decision. I think she's actually the PNB rep who's supposed to. So, I think it's probably done, but I don't know for sure.
She noticed when we looked at it yesterday, and she was very
fast. So to help our secretary, but I'm not sure she knows what we're talking about, but so George recognizes them for finding a location for the PNB meeting here. Location for the PNB meeting in Houston. Which will be next month. Any other recognitions? Ron.
I want to recognize Ted Weisel for his tireless effort in putting together the town hall meeting and all the work that he has put into it so far.
Okay. I want to recognize Ted for town hall meeting. Other recognitions? Teresa.
I want to recognize our election supervisor. I think she's staying on top of it. That's wonderful.
Woo!
Okay, your turn will be done. Other recognitions? Mary?
I would like to recognize the current LSB members that are sticking it out and making sure that we get through this year and ready for the new members to come in. Thanks to everyone.
Other recognitions? Dwayne.
I wanted to add on to whatever the recognition was that was about the PNB meeting. Oh, Deb Chaffin. Wendy just called and is on her way, and she hasn't received a final confirmation from the hotel, but it's all done except for getting the contracts signed. So it's a virtual number.
Cool.
The recognitions. Okay. Thank you all. Let's see. Pacific National Board Report.
Who wants to go first? I suggest that we wait till Wendy's here, and then we can do a little round table.
Okay. It's okay if we wait till she arrives, finish water ride, and we're on in, and then take that up. Okay. Dwayne, you want to give us the GM report?
Sure. I sent y'all the August numbers, I think, at the beginning of the week, and I sent you the poll report this morning. And the only things that, well, there's a few things that aren't on this that I feel like I need to talk about. One is this, and it really got me sort of pulling my hair out. The yellow parts are things that we discussed last night at the finance meeting, but I still want to any really kind of solid answers to it. I took 10 pieces of paper and cut them up.
Got it.
To make this to where I could actually, like, get it. As compared to that really nice three-page thing that we've used for the entire life that I've been here prior to very recently. So this is part of the reason why the
Don't referring to the budget.
Not completely finished yet. Is that it's been adapted by the national office into a format that none of us have used until now. And we've taken our old budget, and that's what we all voted on in July. And then we sent that to Berkeley, and then the numbers were taken off of it and put into this, which is a way different thing. And some of the numbers were changed on us, and some were altered, and some were adjusted. And so the numbers are not as pretty as they were in July when this thing was passed. We've asked for some modifications to be made. We've met several times with the Finance Committee. We've asked our reps on the Finance Committee, being Alberto and Susan, to represent KPFT well, and they have. But So we're further down the national board approval pipeline. We're the only one close to approval. Of the seven units in the family, only two have even been spoken of, and ours has been discussed at length for numerous numbers of hours, and questions have been sent back to me, several pages of questions. We've provided answers, and we've made some modifications. Some of them were things like the national office taking it upon itself to decide that we were going to be dissolving the national debt over the next 5 years by each taking on, just three extra fund drive days per station. And that we were going to be absorbing some added costs because FSRN asked for some more money and we voted to give them some more money. And there was a loan that was taken out using a certificate of deposit that KFA had that was used to leverage some funds for the network to get through some financial hard times earlier this year, and paying that $300,000 note off is part of the expense of that has been laid off on KPFT as an added $750 a month charge that wasn't included in our discussions in July when we passed this budget. Neither was the $370 roughly added monthly add-on for FSRN. And also, in light of the fact that the budget that was passed was modified and altered, I went to the national hierarchy and requested that we also open up the salary structure within that part of the budget, too, because of the fact that we've been getting by now for year with a modified staff structure that's really not quite honest, I don't think.
Fully reflected in the budget.
It's not fully reflected. Okay, it's completely honest in that term, but it doesn't make me feel good when we're paying a receptionist whose lines in our budget were erased this year because the hiring freeze was in effect last year when Osei resigned, and we never replaced that position, but we've been paying three different people pieces of other lines, like consultant lines, to cover the front desk at the station. And that's one among several changes that were added into the modifications in this newer version of the budget that is still incomplete. So I wanted to put that out there for a discussion, and we can talk about it more. George will talk about it more in the Finance Committee. But I think that's a big deal. Another couple things I wanted to reference. One is this training program. And I don't know how many of y'all know, Ron knows about it because he's on staff, and he's maybe, had, I don't know if you've peeked at it yet.
I have.
I've taken this class and finished it, Monday, I think. And everybody, y'all will be invited to do this too, I think, once the paid staff gets through it. It's part of a series of online training programs. This one's on sexual harassment prevention. There'll be another one on diversity, safety issues, and things like that. And different people, typically the paid staff is going to be required that we take these as what Ahmad terms specifically university, which is, I think, a nice way of phrasing mandatory trainings for staff. We're also going to be, I don't know if it will be mandated that y'all as fiduciaries of the station take all of these or some of these or any of them, but I think they're going to be rolled out next, and also to the volunteer staff. Well, this is something that stemmed from a program that was started by Eva Georgia in LA about 3 years ago. And I think it's a really good thing. The other couple things I wanted to mention, the reason I ran late today, and also normally I don't come grubbed out to a board meeting, but I just got off of a roof and then found my car. but it was for a really good reason. I was up at a place called Fonville Middle School up on East Little York, and this is our second collaboration with HISD and an organization based in Galveston that I think I've mentioned in one of these meetings before called Artist Boat. And what they've done, they started this at Browning Elementary School, and this is the second school, and we're going to do it with them on a couple of other schools. You know those things that realtors use where you can tune in your AM radio to like 1650 or something, and you get the little spiel of the realtor's pitch if you're parked right outside the house? It's low-powered AM radio, and it uses micro wattage. I mean, it's very, very tiny number of watts. But what we've been doing with these people is setting up these little microburst AM, LPAM stations at this elementary school. And this afternoon, I was up there setting one up at this middle school, and they're using it in conjunction with a teacher who works with Artist Boat, which is an ecological earth awareness training program. And then the reports that the kids generate and the projects that they do are recorded on discs that are then looped so that when the parents come through the driveways to pick the kids up, they can tune the radios in and hear these little stories by their kids. It's really cool. So if you're ever up on East Little York, tune into 1670 AM and drive past the school and listen to it. And I think that's a really neat thing that's been fun to work on as a little aside. You know, it's not the down and dirty part of being a manager. Another cool thing that I wanted to talk about that's kind of an upbeat thing as well is, I think it was last Friday, and it may have been the Friday before, but it's certainly been since the last time we all met together. I had a meeting with an architectural company. This gentleman named Fernando Brave, he has an architectural firm called Brave Architecture. They've been in Houston for a number of years. He's, I believe, Argentinian originally, and has been here for a while. He knows KPFT through Voice of Breaking Boundaries and through Living Art, and came to my attention through that connection. As part of what they do in the community, they do green architecture. They are one of these LEED organizations, and they're very kind of cutting edge. They do a couple of projects a year where they give back pro bono services to the community. So I met with him for an hour or so, and we shared some ideas, and we shared some old plans, and I pulled out a bunch of old files on past planning that KPFT had done 15, 20 years ago in looking at the possibility of either building a new building in the backyard and moving it forward and eventually demolishing the old structure that's there on Lovett, or building an add-on from the back walls of the structure into the backyard and building a new studio complex back there. And those two ideas, because we had some old plans for both of them, and a couple of other options were things that we discussed, and then at the end of the hour, they agreed that they would like to take KPFT on as a pro bono project. So we're going to formulate a series of different options and plans and things that they'll be bringing to us in the next month or so. And then we can begin ramping up the development committee into thinking of a 40th anniversary capital campaign to raise $1 million or so, so that we can build a more broadcast worthy facility. Whether we keep the old building on Lovett and turn it into essentially a grand entrance hall into a new studio place in the backyard, or whether we wipe it out. You know, at this point, I don't know. I have my personal preferences, and you may have yours. But anyway, I think it's a great thing that they want to take us on as a project. They do a lot of work with Stephen Fox and members of the Rice Design Alliance, and they're very those are not in the report, but I wanted to just add those because they're kind of nice things to talk about.
Thank you. Thanks especially for talking for Donna Bobby. That's really looking forward to having a sort of real good goal for our capital campaign for our 40th anniversary.
Yeah,
Celie?
Yeah, that is very exciting. I loved hearing that, and I also loved hearing about the low power. I wanted to make sure I understood Artist Boat, the
artist,
OIT.
Artist Boat, yeah.
And, I don't like advertising, but I would like people to know out at Little York that KPFT is assisting with this so that they might be intrigued enough to tune in to KPFT.
Well, yeah, I want the teacher involved when we finalize this loop. I'd like there to be a loop as it's ending each time. I'd like KPFT to be thanked. And it's not... It's not exclusively a KPFT tie-in because, you know, I brought some friends to help as well who may ask for other organizations to be thanked. Because I tapped into a friend who works at the Aurora Picture Show who knows about microburst transmitters and used them for, like, driving theater projects out in.
It's just a cool outreach opportunity. And then one more thing. Al Jazeera, I understand the National is in final negotiations, and I'm just wondering if there's a tentative slot, assuming that they finalize it, will there be a tentative slot to plug it in, the new schedule here on the team?
If the National is in final negotiations with Al Jazeera, that's a surprise to me. National, to my understanding, more or less has scotched the whole thing, and I haven't really thought about it very much here. So the main people working for us with interfacing with Al Jazeera aren't even there anymore. And when it took off and became more of a national project, we got to the point of changing the schedule in the middle of the summer. We determined that's a highly unlikely probability the way things would transpire.
If it were to get finalized, what
I'd certainly want it on, and I don't know where we would alter the schedule to do that or whether we would put it somewhere else, but it would be on.
Thank you.
Yeah, Teresa?
Yeah.
And George.
Who is that? George. Go ahead, George.
Somebody's
phone.
I'm sorry, I got a new phone.
That's what it sounds like.
I have two questions.
Wake up.
Two questions. The first one, when you said that there were seven budgets that had been submitted, were you including the affiliates? Because to my knowledge, Ursula Rudenberg, the affiliate coordinator, had been asked to submit a budget and had.
No, the affiliates is not a separate program. There are seven units, there are five stations, there's a national office, and there's an archives. And the affiliates budget is a subset within the national office budget, and she has submitted things to Lamar to be inside that budget. That's all.
I sincerely hope from my work on archives that we don't start trying too aggressively to fiddle with the affiliates' money like you're suggesting they're doing with KPFT.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you let them have their way, it appears that none of the money provides services for affiliates. But I want to congratulate you on the Artist Boat thing, and I'm hoping that will be featured on Growing Up in America. Bob Sanborn's program about schools.
Yeah.
They could say this is something that's happening in the schools, and you could go to Little York and be tuned into 1670, and here's what you could hear, and then put one of the little stories on. I know that KIPP schools wanted to have a program on KPFT, and they wanted to actually interview kids, and I think that's something that could happen with some regularity on Growing Up in America. It's very exciting to hear kids talk about their goals and how they overcome, you know, to hear somebody's life tell their story, as you can tell from This American Life, can be very compelling.
Okay, George.
Yeah, about the Al Jazeera, it did
essentially the ball was dropped for a while. At the last PMB meeting, in-person PMB meeting, there was a group put together to make it, to pick up the ball and make it happen. My sense is there's a clear majority on the PMB that wants this to happen. And I don't know how far along they've got in terms of negotiations. I think not very far. But the clear intent is to make it happen. So I'm hoping within the next couple of months that we'll actually have a contract with them.
Okay, thank you. I forgot to note that Wendy arrived about 5 minutes ago, so Wayne told us you were coming. Yeah, Wendy?
Sounds like I missed an interesting report. So
you did.
I don't want to go back too far except to ask if you mentioned the PTFP rearrangement.
No, I didn't mention that.
Because I still don't quite understand it. So what Dwayne said told me when I wrote that, if some of you saw, I wrote asking what happened to our PTFP grant. He said it was scaled down from 50,000 to 20,000. So can you explain that?
Yeah. Last September, we got a $25,000 grant from PTFP.
Which is for equipment.
The United States Department of Commerce Public Telecommunications Facilities Program. And it's through the NTIA, the National Telecommunications Information Agency. And so they gave us $25,000. We were supposed to match it with $25,000. We already had $23,000 left over from the What's Up campaign, so finding two more to match seemed like a pretty easy deal. And the plan, as we submitted it, what Steve and I wrote up in that grant request, was to get some calibration equipment, to get some new studio boards, to get some, and to get the biggest single piece was a digital STL combiner, so that we would have the ability to digitally send two simultaneous digital signals from KPFT on that microwave dish, the new one up top that we put on after Ike, that we could have a unit at the station and another one at the transmitter, so we could send two digital signals simultaneously across that dish, take them apart at the other end, and send out HD1 and HD2 live. Right after we got the grant, we also got notice from the FCC giving us a 36-month window to build two translator stations, one in Huntsville and one in Livingston. We're now into the 12 months of these 36 months we have to build these two stations before we lose those licenses forever. Those also have a price tag of somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000 a piece, plus monthly operating expenses of anywhere from possibly $500 to $750 a month or so. As the year progressed and we began looking at how we're going to make this PTFP thing happen, we experienced some technical problems with our digital transmitter. We had several burnouts on had a burnout on our main transmitter tube like 9 months before we expected it. And a $5,600 tube was supposed to last, we thought, a couple of years, lasted a couple of months.
This is the digital?
This is the Armstrong transmitter that we bought with some of the original digital money. It's not the digital 1,000-watt transmitter. It's the
combo.
It's the Armstrong 35,000-watt transmitter that lets us do the 100,000-watt. But what has appeared to happen this year is that when we're running this thing at full-blown power, we're burning this tube up really fast. Mm. So Steve has scaled our power output down slightly, and we can't run at reduced power for an indefinite period of time without requesting a variance from the FCC, and if we continue to not maintain the power that we're supposed to be broadcasting at, we could actually lose our ability to maintain that kind of a power output. So Steve doesn't really like the whole idea of having this HD thing piggybacked on top of our main transmitter, causing us to burn through things faster than we'd like to, and the added expense of that, and would have, in a better world, preferred that we spent an extra $100,000 back then and bought a solid state digitally combined transmitter that wouldn't have this kind of burnout capacity that we seem to be experiencing. Be that as it may, what happened as we were looking at these things happening technically, and we were also looking at how we're going to accomplish all these different things with Steve only being a quarter-time employee, and we're also getting other feedback about the viability of H&D as a long-term project, the expense of pulling that off, and being able to manifest what we'd like to do in terms of actually having a radio station in Huntsville, we just decided in conversation to approach Brian Gibbons at the PTFP office in Washington and see if we could modify this thing to accomplish some upgrading of equipment and studio capacity, but not investing as much of the little nest egg that we had for match money into the HD project, which is sketchy in terms of its long of its real viability. I mean, who here has an HD radio? Two of you? I don't. And I was expecting, you know, a year ago I was really high on this because Ford was about to come out with their 2009 models. They were all going to have HD radios. Well, the world cracked on us about a year ago right now while we were all waiting in line for ice cubes and water and MREs. So the prognosis for the rollout of HD that we were kind of optimistic about a year ago is not as rosy today. And we went to them and we went to Brian and said, look, will you let us modify this? Because we'd really like to do a few other things because we have some other needs. Are we going to be out of luck? Do we just need to give you the money back? We haven't spent a penny. We haven't drawn any of the money out of the bank in Richmond. He said, well, you can just send me a note and cancel the project. It won't be like a black mark in your file. You can reapply for it next year, but just know that the administration right now has this office zeroed out in its budget for next year. Well, I might not even be here. So you might want to take the money and run with it while you can, but if you don't spend it or if you spend it for something else, you might be told to give it back to us. We rewrote the proposal and changed it, and we put in new studio boards to basically take the master control studio and replicate that board in the empty former news office, which is really a studio, and the production studio. So all three of them would have matching equipment, and that we would, because we're having lots of problems with computers and we're having problems with people wanting to archive stuff and make copies of programs and things like that, Steve came up with this great idea of they've got these new units called digital flash recorders, and it's like the chip that you put into a digital camera. It's not like the little thumb drive. They're actual little cards, and you need like a reader and stuff like that. But we got one of these at the test, and we applied for six of them. So we're going to have two of them here, and two of them there, and two of them here, where people can you can record your show live onto one of these things, or you can do it on your computer and have your show on one of these and bring it and play it, and it alleviates all these viruses and all these computer problems in our production studio and all these things clogging us up and really limiting our ability to do good radio in the here and now. And we figured out a way that we can do this and just spend $9,000. We can get $9,000 from the government to match it and basically get half of it all for free. They approved the project. We've gone ahead and ordered it, and it leaves us $14,000 in that original 23 that we can then begin to filter into a construction program that we've already moved about three or four steps down the road on in terms of finding transmitter towers and getting lease arrangements and buying equipment and building transmitter sites in Huntsville, which we're a couple of phone calls away from being able to sign a contract on Huntsville. And
they wouldn't let PTFP pay for the translator equipment?
No.
I mean, just the whole thing. Does everybody else already know this stuff? Because I didn't expect such a long, great, interesting answer. Because I'm just looking at how we gave $16,000 back to the federal government that we was awarded to us. And so it's just it's interesting. I had no idea. So we're not going to have two digital signals anymore?
No, we still have the two digital signals. It's just that we can't simultaneously transmit two live signals from the station. So we've got one digital signal that goes out on the microwave when it's live. The HD2 signal has to be sent through a phone line and then picked up on a computer and then thrown up through that. So it's a little chunkier. But it works. It's just that we're limited in now. Like, the original vision was that we'd have those two studios there, they'd both be live, and if we've got news going on in this studio and they don't need that room, that's the air studio, then we could have a band in that room playing live through the other studio, and we still, in the new building, we'll have all that.
Thank you. Okay, Teresa.
I first heard some of the stuff about HD in the program council, and there was a little bit of uproar. I knew something was odd, that we didn't seem to be giving away HD equipment, and I just was not hearing HD promoted. And it's very frustrating to me that, like, 4 years ago or 5 years ago or more in ad hoc World Affairs News Committee, somebody left that was a U of H employee, went over there to work full time on their HD program. And I'm wondering if we're ever going to get this HD program off the ground here.
Me too. We have an HD program that's off the ground. I'm not pleased with it by any means. We're just streaming a lot of satellite stuff more than we're doing anything else. To me, it's also part and parcel with us having taken a couple steps back in terms of staffing, and just we need to be able to build capacity, and that's future capacity that we need to build. But when push comes to shove, it's still at a very elitist level that is not like, when you think of radio, you think of it as like a very common transmission medium. It's like the most common denominator in terms of media that we have on the planet. But HD isn't that way, because you've got a whole new technology that you have to invest in, and it's still relatively prohibitive cost-wise. I mean, you can get, I think, maybe $70 might get you a cheap HD radio now.
50 now.
50. Yeah, so it's going down. I mean, it was 200 a year and a half ago.
Did we initially have the opportunity to get a match of $75,000? If we raised $75,000, they would match $75,000 when we took it down to $25,000? Is that not true? The $25,000, I thought it was originally $75,000. The PTSD.
So it's getting kind of late, everyone.
Can I just say one more
thing? Thank you.
It seems like the exact kind of thing that the board should be involved in, at least, telling us it's happening, whether you pose it as a, will you approve this or not. It's kind of huge. I'm the chair of the development committee, and I never heard of it. That's all I'm just...
Which end are you talking about?
Redoing the whole PTFP thing. It's a big ass contract. It seems, I understand, what if they throw a monkey wrench in it or something, but we have a pretty reasonable group. We're open to reason.
Well, it's not crazy. I mean, I don't want to drag this out too much longer than I already have, seemingly, but in my mind, This is all a relatively common story, and I didn't even think it
for it.
Just, well, Robin's been aware of this, and maybe not to the depth of detail that I've just spouted out for the last too long, but, you know, the truth of the matter is that I haven't thought of it in terms of the development level of experience, because the money that was generated through a development level experience 3 or 4 or whatever 5 years ago to get the transmitter equipment for that matching fund then is still sitting in a pool waiting to be used. So it wasn't like we really needed to do a campaign to get anything to match what we were asking for. It was $2,000. I mean, I could pass the hat here and develop that, I would hope.
Oh, really?